from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Coach Sheehan's show, DOC. DHing, Denton Day, as always. Just wonder, if they were punching a clock, how many hours do you think DQ and Adam Peters would have logged over the last week?
Almost as many as you and I.
Well, I think they got us beaten, my brother. I'm telling you what. We've heard a lot from DQ. Not so much from Adam Peters. That's why yesterday it was great to hear AP on Cut Down Day. Let's take a listen.
Season tape for hours and hours and hours and really got together and gave us a lot of really good candidates to bring in and to bring up and made tapes, had our coaches watch them and all that. But in the end, I think it really speaks to the guys we have in this building and looking through the waiver wire and being really happy with the guys that we have. And we thought, you know, you compare them to the guys that you have and the guys that are out there. And we thought, you know, the guys that we have in the building we're really happy with. So at this point, we didn't make any waiver claims, and we have the number 2 waiver claim. We still have the number 2 waiver claim, so, and we'll have that for the first 3 weeks, at least, and hopefully no longer than that. And we'll keep doing that until we're always going to do what's best for the team and how to make our team better. So we didn't see that in this round, but it could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be weeks from now. So,
John?
Oh, with the Silas question. Yeah, I think with a guy like John, he did a really good job, and you guys saw how good he did on Sunday night, too. And so with that, there's a lot of interest in him. And you look at your team, and you look at who you have in the building and compare it to what teams are offering, and we thought, you know, it's a really good opportunity for him to go somewhere and play a little bit more than he probably would have played here. And the scheme probably fits him a little bit more. And so we were in constant contact with his agent, and you know, John, to his credit, probably there's some things swirling around the last few days. He went out there and put some of his best tape out there, and really battled for us out here all off season, all summer, all training camp. So we wish the best for him, and I know he's going to go and have a really good year in New Orleans.
Yeah, one thing I'm curious about too is you guys, this is your first year here, but you guys have been around. But I'm curious, like, what lessons you've learned along the way that maybe you can apply to building a roster at a new place like this?
Yeah. I think there's a lot, John. And I think the first part, you know, is it's the team. You know, like, there's one thing about collecting talent. There's another thing about developing the team. I think one of the things I admire about Adam is he has a fully, you know, strong grasp of that, of the team concept, and finding the best pieces that fit together. And that's our job, to help feature certain players, what they can do, what roles we put them in. And so that, to me, is kind of the secret sauce of it, and one that, you know, didn't take long to visit with Adam about, that he had, you know, the same strong feelings about something like that as well.
Yeah, I think he said it as the first personnel manual I ever had, John, was Patriots, and it says, we're not collecting talent, we're building a team, and that's what we're trying to do here, too, and that rings true, you know, 20-some years later. And I think we're going to keep getting better at it. The more we're around each other, the more that our scouting staff knows what they're looking on the field, looking for on the field, offensively and defensively. We're going to get better and better and better, and we're already on our way to that, much faster than I thought we would be, and really excited for what's to come in the future.
Hey, Adam, sort of along those lines in terms of what we're also building, you've been pretty disciplined from the start. You didn't sign, you signed a lot of guys for free, took them out, a lot of splashy contracts, didn't make trades in the draft in terms of who they had picks. A lot of fans, of course, want those bigger moves. Might even be a player on your former team that we're interested in. How do you, what would you say to people about that discipline versus trying to make those bigger moves? How do you kind of explain your philosophy and how the world would come through this?
Yeah, I think it really just goes back to one core philosophy, is you always want to do what's best for the team, and that's for the short and long term. And so every decision we make is going to be with that in mind, and we're going to talk about it, and there's going to be a lot of different things that come across, you know, our desks, and we sit down and talk about it. Do we think this is the right move for us right now and for the future? And so each time, each individual decision is going to be the same thought process. Is this the best for our team? And that's going to drive our decision.
And then for both of you, you know, in terms of the roster, sort of along the same lines, and Dan, you mentioned this the other day with the two undrafted free agents, how they sort of maybe epitomize the mindset that you guys are trying to accomplish. How do you think, how much was that the ultimate goal, to obviously more talent, but to build that mindset, build an identity, even maybe above working that talent in the moment?
I think you're on the right track, Ben, that you better have an identity and know what you're going to be about and how you get down, because if you don't, you'll just kind of hodgepodge it around. And so I think when you see us play, you've got a glimpse so far of some of speed, of physicality, of goal to finish. And so those are some of the traits that we admire about a lot of the players on this 70-man roster. And the more we do it, you know, the stronger it's going to get. But that is a really important piece of it.
Dan, have you had a chance to talk with the initial 53 and just the fact that they are in that locker room together now? And if so, you share what you say.
Yeah, we had our big team meeting today, you know, for the first time. And it's that connection together. I'd say they've connected really strongly, Chick, which doesn't always happen right away. But to see a lot of these guys as teammates, what they want to be about, the standard they've set for one another, I think that's one of the really coolest parts when you look back and you watch. And I felt that Sunday night, Adam and I were both after the game, just seeing the energy for the players, you know, after a score, after a big play the sideline, you know, kind of going crazy for some people. That's the type of environment that, you know, Adam and I both really want to be a part of, like where we know we can work our ass off, but really enjoy it too. And so what I do see from this crew is a crew that does that. And so they're working really hard together to find their edges, but they're also enjoying it together. And so that's why, what better compliment than to, when you release somebody and they text you back later, and then I really want to be a part of this or that, or when a player is claimed by another team and they're waiting around to visit, just that they wanted to, you know, check in with Adam and make sure, you know, to show that gratitude and appreciation. That doesn't happen every day, check. And so to see that, I don't think it could be a better compliment of the people that Adam has brought in, that they stand for the right stuff.
And Adam, you mentioned this is the first time to be in that chair. You've been through the process. Now you're in that chair having those conversations one-on-one with these players. Was it different? Did you learn something? Was anything surprised about being the guy who's deciding the fate of guys?
Yeah, it's harder. It's harder. And I would look back and I'd always look at, you know, John Lynch and say, you know, why is he so, has so much turmoil? Like, he's not sleeping one night, but fine. And then and you sit in that chair, you realize the totality and the weight of it. And, you know, it wears on you. And they're hard. You know, these are guys that you see out here every day. They're working their tails off, and they're going for it. And so when you're having those conversations, you understand, like, how much it means to them, how much it means to you. And, you know, you want to keep every one of them because they're all, you know, they're all worthy of being there. But you can only keep 53 and another 17. So I now understand how hard that is and how much it weighs on you. It's good stuff. Obviously, they weren't your guys' draft picks, but 5 and 7 draft picks from last year were released. How do you kind of balance guys who are on, you know, cheap team control versus upside and talent? Yeah, I think, you know, in regards to the draft picks from last year, I think PK on the other day mentioned, these guys were all Commanders and they're all ours, you know, so, and we're thrilled to bring a bunch of them back on the practice squad, and you know how it goes. There, a lot of them are going to be playing for us this year, and a lot of those guys embody what we're looking for. We just had, all right, some other guys ahead of them, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to keep getting better and become really good Commanders for us. But you're always, you know, we're trying to win, and it goes back to his initial press conference. But we're recalibrating, so we're not, you know, we're trying to build for the long term and win championships, you know, year in and year out, but we're also trying to win right now.
Do you guys anticipate making any major moves now for the season?
Define major.
I'm trying to think of something funny to say that I can't. It's going to give you the same answer every single time. We're always going to do what we think is best for the team. So if a major move comes across and we look at each other and we talk with each other, we think that's best for us for short and long term, we're going to consider it. We're going to make it best for the team. So we're not averse to any of that. We're not just going to go make a big splash move, just to make a splash move.
How do you feel about the supporting cast you've given Jaden, specifically in the receiver room?
Yeah, we really like those guys, Sam, and that's why we feel we're comfortable with making the moves we made. And the guys that we have now are getting better and better each week, and not just the receiver room, but then you have three running backs and catch the ball in the backfield. One is a specialist at it, and Brian Robinson, I think, is underrated at that. And then Jeremy McNichols is a jack of all trades, and then you have the tight end room where we got four really good tight ends on the roster, and another fifth one on the practice squad to push the ball. So that group of eligible receivers, we think, is really good, and that gelled really well with Jaden.
Two significant contributors to the team in the last week traded away for basically pick swaps coming back. Was there any consideration trying to get players back, or was that always kind of long-term or short-term consideration?
Yeah, I think you look at all the options when you do that, you have conversations back and forth about what you're getting for compensation. And so oftentimes, certainly Richard was a pick swap. I disagreed a little bit with John on the pick swap, but we got some
John, I want picks instead of a player.
Yeah, picks, yeah.
Yeah, you can look for it. If it's players that help your team, then you definitely consider that. In our estimation, the trade that we made was the best value for us. And if it was players that we thought would help us in the short and long term, we would consider that too. But in the end, we thought this was the best deal.
The long-term mindset makes a ton of sense. You both talked about true north recalibration. But does that get more difficult as you get closer to the season? And it's like, hey, Tampa's in 10 days. Does it change, or do you have to put blinders on?
I think it's a lot harder to get good players at this point in the season than it is in March and really in April. Those are the times you can really get a lot of good players. And there's just not as many out there right now. They're all on teams for the most part. So you can tweak your roster a little bit at this point for the most part unless you have a big opportunity somewhere. But, you know, we're really happy with the guys that we have out there, and we're pumped to go see them, and they're going to go out there and I think really can beat their ass off and put it on. And I guess it's almost the long answer is to say we're happy with the guys we have.
And like, we love developing the players too. So, there we are, you know, here on August 28th, you know, the players are going to also grow and improve with it. And so, like, every good team does that. You're playing your best towards the end. And, like, that's part of developing and growing. And, you know, that's a cool thing. Kind of unlike some of your predecessors, you're coming into a whole new situation with no kind of institutional knowledge of kind of what happened here, but having seen sort of players around the league, how did that fresh perspective kind of help build this roster for you from the time you started until now, and kind of having a fresh no preconceived notions about people who are here?
Yeah, it's great to come in, and it's also good. It's good for me to have a fresh set of eyes, but it's good for the players that were here to have, you know, us having a fresh set of eyes on them and allow them to evaluate them for what we see. And so I think along with the guys that we brought in, you know, I can't, you know, be more complimentary of the guys that were already here and the way they bought into what BQ was doing and really having just a kind of renewed sense of what they're doing. And yeah, I could go on and on, but the big names, you have Jonathan Allen, you have Ron Payne, you have Brian Robinson, Sam Cosby, Terry McLaurin, all those guys bought right into what BQ was doing. So that was really cool to see because they, you know, they didn't know us from anything either, just like we didn't really know them from anything, and they bought right in, and that was cool to see. So really, really proud of that, really happy and thankful for them for that.
And Dan, same thing, how cool is it as a coach to almost get a chance to help along with that and kind of mold the roster in terms of the players you see this team fits for?
Yeah, there's a lot of excitement. As hard as the last couple days are, there's also a sense of, like, excitement to see this puzzle come together and clear it and go. And so when you have that, you can feel why we are so excited for this group that's about to go out to practice. There are a group of guys that are absolutely going to go for it, and that's what we're looking for. So it's cool to see this puzzle come to life and see how it all fits together and the pieces fit together. And so, like, it's a really cool experience, and you can feel our excitement for it because you know what they can do.
How did the two of you approach that practice squad construction? Are you guys looking at it like, all right, we want to bring in three running backs, two wide receivers, or are you just looking for the best 17 players that you can add to the roster?
Yeah, I think philosophically on practice squad, and really just kind of anywhere you're looking for a really good mix of guys that can come in and play for you. And that's one of the coolest things that's one of the only good things about COVID is that we're allowed to get a bigger practice squad because of the things that were happening. And so that allows you to get six veteran players if you want on your practice squad, and then you can fill in the rest with younger guys. But so you have a mix of guys that can come in and sub in if you have a few injuries for a week or two, and then you have other guys that you can continue to develop. And like DQ says, even the veterans are still developing in that time. So you want to get guys that can help you right away, but and then have another group of guys that can keep developing. So that's what you look for, but you're always looking to get, you know, the best 17 you possibly can.
So you all mentioned recalibrating as well as win now.
backfield would keep attacking it, keep getting better. Is our division, you know, all of that. And so if we do what we're capable of doing and play the way that we want to play, we'll be really proud of those results. But to say where it's going to be so far down the line, not interested in that. Just want to see how good we can get and do it again and do it again. If we do those over and over, there'll be some really cool things that'll come from that.
Yeah, that's my answer, too. No, it's really just getting better every day, and the rest will take care of itself.
I know these last couple of days have been tough for players, families, yourselves, so I really just want to know how you are doing.
Well, we appreciate that. It's hard for us, but nothing compared to the guy that sits across from us in those seats. And I think that's what maybe was so remarkable for some of those guys to reach out and want to connect with us, knowing that they really want to be a part of this locker room campaign. I think what a cool compliment to the players who are in that locker room. That's who they play for, one another. And so to have that experience of wanting to be here so significantly, you know, that means a lot. And I think what a cool compliment to those guys in the locker room.
Yeah, I agree. It is hard for us, but it's definitely harder for the players. It's hard for everybody in the building to develop relationships with all these guys, and I commend everybody in the building for handling the class. Everybody is part of the operations. There's a lot of people involved in that, from support staff to coaches, and really everybody in terms of getting all that handled in a first-class manner. And we appreciate the players the most for handling the first-class manner and handling the way they did, and appreciate everything they've done out there, and a lot of them will continue to do out there.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon. How much did the NFLPA decline the option to have the emergency quarterback come off the practice squad impact your decision to keep your quarterbacks on the active roster?
Not a lot. Not a lot. I think as you look at it, we thought Jeff did a really good job throughout, got better and better and better throughout training camp, or throughout the offseason and training camp. And we thought, at that point, when we were making those decisions, that Jeff earned a spot on the 53. So we have Jaden and Marcus, and then the third spot was open, and Jeff went and took it. So, I'm proud of him and proud of the way he played, and I think that he earned it.
It's a really cool quarterback room here, David. Coaching their connection together, and to see these four guys working together and in support of it, all that goes into it. It was by design that we were going to be at the end of that space from a coaching point of view, and to see that transfer into the players and the belief of them has been always worth it.
Dan Quinn, Adam Peters, just comforting. When I hear them talk about it, it's easy for me to follow it. And it never sounds to me like they're selling. They're simply explaining where they're going, whether or not I agree or buy in or not. What do you get from them?
Very similar to you. It just felt like they were explaining the decisions, not trying to rationalize all of the decisions. And we in the past had somebody that tried to rationalize everything when that maybe wasn't necessary. So right. I liked what I heard.
Right. Me too. I mean, it is what it is. We're the professionals. This is not our first rodeo. And we feel bad about it because we're humans. And we appreciate the effort that these kids gave us that we have to depart from. And that's real. And that means they're human beings. It's like with my boy Ridge. There's certain guys, and that's why you're always better. You cover this game. You've been doing this for a minute. You're always better off not getting attached. You can tell the guys that fans, whether they met him or not, just enjoyed the way they played based on how people are disappointed when they're gone. And who's the one, the two guys that are gone, who do we get the most opposition from our fan base? KJ? Ridge? Who have you heard of the people stand up for or fight for? Fight for Diami.
I've only heard KJ.
KJ, yeah. I saw Ridge is my kind of guy. He's a rumbler. He's a fighter. He's a junkyard. I just thought he was, and he displayed it that way. And, you know, and I just, like I said, you were four and whatever. You were in last place. So did you want them to bring everybody back, even though I believe this is a better group of teachers and instructors? No, flip it. Do it your way, brother. We trust in you. Go get it done. But they're human beings, and so you do get close to people. But you got to do your job. It's a tough job. That's why you guys have it, and we don't. So go and do it. It's going to be some hard decisions you have to make. Make them. It's like with Rizzo. Why do we like you think Rizzo doesn't have to make tough decisions? He's got to make a lot of them. They're not always popular. But you're not doing it for a popularity contest. You're doing it to build a winning product and to get out of last place. There's nothing that rubs me wrong worse than having a high payroll and being in last place. You feel me on that? Something's wrong if all I hear about is giving away bags and I'm in last place. Don't you get that? That's a disconnect. If I'm giving up bags and I'm winning, hey, it's all good. Holla. Let's roll. Crank up the band. It's not what's been happening here. And sometimes you just got to admit it. You got played. Yeah, you got played. You picked the wrong guy. And, but again, there's a big fan of that guy coming up next. And so I'm going to back off that because I love this dude that's going to join us after the break. He's the Rooster. Stay with us right here on Team 980.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot of movement, rosters all over the league. We care about what happens here and now, and nobody's been on it with more coverage than Chris Russell, a.k.a. the Rooster. And I know it seems like you were fond of the big fella, Ridgeway, as was I. And I wonder about your reaction to the big fella now in New Orleans and no longer wearing burgundy and gold.
Yeah, good morning, Doc. Thanks for having me. I mean, I like Ridgeway. I thought he was really good on Sunday night, and so did Dan Quinn, because when I asked Dan Quinn about Fedarian Mathis after the game on Sunday night, he saluted Fedarian Mathis, which I think he should have, and they ultimately kept. But he also pointed out John Ridgeway, and I think he was, like, the highest graded defensive player for whatever it's worth via PFF in that game. Again, for whatever it's worth. But for whatever reason, remember, Dan Quinn had him as a fifth-round draft pick in Dallas 2 years ago, and they cut him at the end of training camp. And then they asked him to lose some weight, maybe get quicker. And then Adam Peters said yesterday, we wanted to find a better scheme fit for him. I think we all know, right, that they want quicker, more explosive, kind of longer, I guess, with a little bit more sizzle, if you will, in their first step and in their moves and the way they attack the line of scrimmage and gaps than what they got out of John Ridgeway, who was a serviceable, beyond serviceable player for the last almost 2 years for the Commanders, But sometimes, as you know, Doc, it just isn't a fit, and they have ideal athletic traits that they want, and then they waited all of training camp and the preseason, and they still didn't get enough for what they were looking for. You know, very different than Jahan Dotson, but this is what happens when you turn over an organization.
And you do look at certain player types, like as Newton is completely different body type than Ridgeway. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, and Big Phil is long.
Yeah.
And I can buy into to that, the guys that remind them of people that they've had success with. And that's,
you know, the only
problem,
the only problem with all of that, Doc, is, like, are they once again doing what was a problem in Dallas, where they're getting rid of guys, K.J. Henry, John Ridgeway, and maybe not valuing guys that can stop the run and create havoc up front against, you know, an opposing team's offensive line over pass rush and quickness and first step explosion? That's what I don't know here, because that was a problem in Dallas, especially last year, and right now they've gotten rid of two guys so far on that defensive line that maybe didn't have that sizzle to their steak, if that makes sense.
No, it does. It does, because the young man that they gave up on, KJ, we both, I think, liked the fact that he has a football demeanor that I was attracted to.
Yeah.
Did not have the quick twitch, per se. If you look at a Farrell, an Armstrong, I could understand that type of player. And if I look at Dallas's unit, it's a giraffe pretty much over a buffalo. And so it's just a matter of what you want. And I can't say, that their 12 wins, we were terrible. So you're right. It's a matter of style. You're going with your style. They have earned the right to pick their style of player. And I agree with you. We got to see what happens. Are you settled at the cornerback position? Because I'm not.
You said at the cornerback
position. At the cornerback. You settled, You sleeping well.
No, I mean, I don't know how you can be, right? I mean, I was a little bit disappointed that they didn't bring along Tariq Castro Fields. I thought he was really good Sunday night in a couple of spots. Maybe he could have gotten beat on that first long incompletion down the sideline on a third and 11 if it was a slightly better throw. But I thought he was good elsewhere throughout the game. I thought he was pretty good in camp whenever I saw him. I thought he was pretty good in the other preseason games. So I was a little surprised that they didn't get him. And, you know, the Carolina Panthers snatched him up. Okay, I can live with that. Here's my question. We know that they are going to take on some enormously talented receivers just early on. Mm-hmm. Mike Evans next week. Yeah, Godwin, sure. Malik Nabers, week two in the home opener against the Giants. Jamar Chase, assuming that he's on the field. And T. Higgins, assuming that he's on the field, which it looks like he will be, week three. So we just, Marvin Harrison Jr. For week four. So I just look at the schedule and I say, okay, how are they going to just hang in there with these guys at the current crop that they have? No waiver claims. There could be some strategic reasons certainly behind that. Nobody yet in free agency. Sure, they have a guy or two on the practice squad. Okay, but I think, Doc, you and I know that it is going to be very, very, very difficult to navigate unless these guys, via scheme and via a much improved, or so they hope, pass rush, play a lot better than they did A, in camp, B, in the preseason, and C, last year.
Roost, I just want to make sure that we aren't missing something or something's flying underneath our face without us seeing it. Have you heard anything on the health of Brandon Coleman as far as week one is concerned?
Yeah, I think he said to the media, of course, I wasn't out there because they were practicing right during my show. He said he would be ready to go with no, I believe the term was no restrictions. I would have to double check that, but it was basically very much along those lines. If that wasn't the exact term, yesterday for today is what he said. Again, that's Brandon Coleman. It's a rookie, but I'm guessing he wasn't just lying about that. So if you practice today, and obviously, they have a couple of days off, players' days off. I think it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, or maybe it's Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Can't remember the exact schedule. You know, if you practice today and then you're able to go through the full practice week next week, D-Day, he should be good to go. Now, my question is he going to start? And my Thank guess you. Is with the injury, Big Corn is probably going to start at left tackle with Wiley on the right side against Tampa.
Yeah, and that would be what I would hope for. Because I trust Luke, especially with five at quarterback, getting rid of that thing lightning quick.
Mm-hmm.
And with a better game plan and movement. And I just think overall we're not going to be in a prehistoric set that allows our quarterback to be exposed. And the quarterback's not going to hold the ball forever like he's got no brain. So that's going to be it. Are there any other concerns about Wiley? Where are you at right now? I'm uncomfortable. Where are you?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I know he had a couple of penalties early in the Miami game, didn't play in the last game against New England. So, you know, we're going to have to go by a very limited and lukewarm at best sample size. I think maybe that was just getting his timing and his rhythm back. He missed so much practice and obviously the Jets game getting going, or at least I hope that. I thought he was better in the second half last year as they tried to run the ball more, as they tried to get the ball more out of Sam Howell's hands. And maybe some of that was that, as opposed to Wiley, per se, getting better. But I don't think he was as bad as he showed in the first half of last year. So am I okay with him being the starting right tackle? Sure, because I don't have a better answer. If you're telling me, hey, man, Donovan Smith really wants to be here, he's played left tackle and right tackle. He's won a couple of Super Bowls. He's from the area, and we can get him for a one-year, $6 million deal. I would rather do that, yes. But in lieu of that, I guess we're just going to have to kind of hope that he can hold up against a very, 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 sophisticated and aggressive blitz attack of Todd Bowles. I mean, I worry, quite honestly, in that matchup, next Sunday's season opener, I worry more about the interior guys like Allegretti and Biotish, even though Biotish is a great signing, I think, because they have to go against King Kong in Vita Vea.
Oh, yeah.
And that guy just is going to destroy not only human beings, he's going to destroy anyone and everyone in his path if he's healthy, and so far he is.
So how do you think Cliff Kingsbury is going to make up for that, Roos? Do you think that that's going to be more of a we're going to run the ball outside kind of a deal and run away from Vita Vea, or what's your thought there?
I would think so. I mean, all throughout training camp and the offseason and practice, we've seen a ton of toss, sweeps, toss pitches, not only to Austin Eckler, which makes sense because he has the speed to turn the corner, but I've seen it a bunch to Brian Robinson Jr. as well. And I'll give you one step further, I'm trying to be as careful as I can be, to not violate anything that we were given, the ability to see. I think one way to counter a guy like Vita Vea, besides all of those outside perimeter runs that we just talked about, is jet sweeps and jet sweep handoffs to who? Well, Jamison Crowder is one candidate, and I think Luke McCaffrey is another guy that I would keep my eye on. And jet sweep handoffs, I mean a receiver lining up on one side of the formation, basically running in a motion sprint right behind the line of scrimmage and basically in front of the quarterbacks, and then you give a front handoff. Or you could do it a different way, but that takes a little bit longer. This seems to be the most effective way, and also the way that I believe Cliff Kingsbury will do things. And then one more for you. We know Cliff loves no huddle, right? And they've done plenty of tempo by design in the two games where Jaden Daniels played. Well, I mean, if you want to tire out Vita Vea and wear him out in the third and fourth quarter, tempo by design and no huddle and doing it frequently next Sunday in the heat and humidity, granted it's a later game in the afternoon, that's one way to do that and to limit his effectiveness.
That sounds good. Anybody coming up? More Zion today on the big show?
No, he's on double secret probation like Jaden Daniels was.
I'm just teasing.
No, he's not with me today because he's got overtime tonight. Doc, you'll be proud of me and my efforts to continue to shape and mold the youngest in charge, or youngest in charge too, as you like to kind of refer to him. I took him out to lunch yesterday after the show and made sure he was fed, so he should be ready and raring to go tonight at 6:30. I'm just solo. Nobody wants to hang out with me from 1 to 4, so we're just going to rock and roll and fire off a bunch of opinions and see if we can rattle anybody's cage.
Yeah, well, I'll make sure the K9 community is all over you. Thank you, brother. Yeah, we appreciate your insight.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Thank you. You got it. That's Chris Russell. He's coming up following this program. And now, Denton Day, I feel like there's something trending.
This trending report is brought to you by Floor & Decor. Unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. Floor & Decor has more styles of laminate, vinyl, tile, wood, and stone for anyone looking for the right look at the right price. Your next beautiful space is at Floor & Decor. Busy day for the Commanders on Wednesday. The team traded John Ridgeway and a 2025 seventh to the Saints for a 2025 sixth round pick, with the open roster spot freed up by that trade. They signed wide receiver Noah Brown, who was most recently with the Texans, but also spent time in Dallas when Dan Quinn was the defensive coordinator. Major League Baseball, Nats beat the Yankees 5-2. Dylan Cruz led the game off for the Nats with a homer on the second pitch he saw. It was Cruz's first career home run in the big leagues. Nats are off today. They're back at home on Friday against the Cubs at 6:45. Taylor Heinicke headed out west. The Falcons traded the former Commanders quarterback to the Chargers for a conditional sixth round pick. Jacoby Brissett named starter in New England. Mike Tomlin named Russell Wilson the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that's what's trending.
Action-packed day, the day after. A lot of chips have fallen. Patriots give the nod to Jacoby Brissett. I think most figured that would be. And it was. Still a couple of the wide receivers that are still out there. Reminds me of like you're running a daycare and you got a kid hanging on the crib screaming. The wide receiver. Brandon Ayuk at this point. What'd you think about John Lynch saying at some point you have to play? Not really. It depends on how hard you're going to play your hand. And I'm surprised Trent Williams wasn't mentioned on this. We know the record. Well, a lot of us are kind of familiar with the record. When Trent doesn't play, when Debo doesn't play, McCaffrey doesn't play, they go from Super Bowl contender to pretender when two or three guys out of the line. Like most teams, if you had people that were that good and you go without them, that's not astounding to me, but it is a fact. Where are you at? Are you a Niner guy or not?
No, I'm a Commander guy.
No. I know you're not pulling for the 49ers. I'm just saying you respect their game. Do you consider them to be all that in a bag of chips? Or where are they on your underrated, overrated, or you don't care?
I mean, they're properly rated. They were in the Super Bowl. Couldn't pull it off, but they got there.
Yeah, no, I got mad respect for them. What would you do with this deal with IU? I mean, with the brat, it's not making them wrong. But I love them. I love the way this thing kind of works out with them as to how it goes. But now that the Cowboys have kind of taken the first step, they brought their brat home. What would you predict? Who's next?
In terms of getting paid, it's going to be Ja'Marr Chase.
Yes.
It's going to be Ja'Marr Chase.
You think the Bengals, you think Mike Brown will surrender? I don't.
Is it surrendering? If you're looking at it as a surrender,
I think he does.
I would tell him to adjust his frame of thought. How about that?
Right. Wait, has he done that? I was shocked he signed his quarterback, but he did. No, we'll see. We'll see. I found him to be the best in terms of he holds really true to his guns. The coach kind of got caught in over his skis, and that's why I agree with the coaches to say nothing. Stay out of it. Because the rest of the team is watching, and it's one thing for people to be in camp, busting their rumps, going all out, and anybody attracting or getting attention that's not participating. Like in the I don't know if I've gotten your take on New York. Was it Reddick? This is bad, dude.
Hey, he's out there hanging in Japan when he was supposed to be at camp.
It's a bad dude. He ain't showed up to nothing. And then the Jets is going, now are they bluffing? Here's where I think they're bluffing. If I was him, I'd stay strong. Hold you. Their coach, everybody there is on a one-and-done deal to me. Aaron, the whole group, great defense. Offense is all it's been held hostage. The coach knows that they either get it done or done. And yet this brother said, we're not going to talk to you, negotiate with you unless you're here. He hadn't budged. What's your gut tell you about that situation?
That's going to end very poorly.
I agree.
For all those involved. Like, at least with the wide receivers, I can see an avenue as to where Jamar Chase is going to get paid. I can see an avenue as to where Brandon Ayuk is going to get paid. I do not see one to where he gets paid with the Jets, and I don't think the Jets are going to trade for a guy and then 4 months later trade him again.
Yeah, I think Ayuk is playing. I almost said playing his hand best, but I can't buy into that when Trent Williams is the most valuable asset there. There's no way he's going to be getting treated better than Trent or quicker than Trent. They can get by without Ayuk, and he's a valuable asset. Trent? Don't think so. And I don't think Purdy gets his due. I think he's done a heck of a job dealing with his circumstance. And I don't want to pay attention to that preseason outing he had because it was terrible. And it's like, but then again, if we're going to hold everybody else to a standard to where, oh, it's vanilla, it's not in the car, we're not doing it, we got to hold them to it too. Can't make it count for him and nobody else. But it was a little bit out of character. But then again, you know, they have so many stars. I don't know if I'm saying stars. They have a lot of badasses that produce. They're littered with talent. People at positions, critical spots. Wagner, the safety, got all-pro safeties. Middle linebackers, rush end, left tackle, wide receiver, running back. What layer of their team do they not have a bad behind that? That's roster building. Oh, and did I mention? We've got part of that team to help build that here. That's encouraging. I don't ever have a feeling now that we're being led by the blind. Not at all. There's a method to what they're doing. They have a game plan. Just like talking with Rooster, you get the idea they have a body type. A lot of people didn't like KJ. Well, maybe, but they know what they're looking for. Have you ever felt that over the last 4 years? Did you know what they were looking for?
Not at all. Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, Doc, about you feeling like the blind is not leading the blind anymore. What about how NFL agents feel? Ben Standing put out his annual NFL agents poll, and they weighed in on the front office, really here, but across the entire league, and how the front office here compares to that across the entire league. I think we should get into that next.
Let's go for it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. Ooh. you get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.